Harper Bliss, author of Lesbian Fiction, and I'm her missus. Thank you for listening to our podcast where we try to talk about our journey in writing and publishing.
But we usually get sidetracked by television or our cat.
Meow.
Welcome to Harper Bliss and her missus. Hello everyone, this is episode 32 of
Harper Bliss.
Hello, Mrs.
We're recording this on Tuesday, 30 April 2019.
Hello.
Hello.
We haven't seen each other that much in the last few days.
So. I know. Yeah. Who are you?
I'm your wife.
Spending more time with my cat than with my wife.
Yes, that's true.
That's why I'm so easily bamboozled.
Yes.
I'm not bamboozle-proof.
No. By the cat, not by me.
I remember that time we got bamboozled when we were in New York.
Yes, into buying some CD.
Such a classic bamboozle.
I know.
They thought, these two white girls, let's rock up and see for how much we can shake them down. And they shook us down.
Yes, anyway, let's not mention that anymore.
I don't know why I had to think about that.
Let's talk about the past week.
Okay, do you want to go first?
No, you go first. You have more to say.
Did I put you on the spot?
Yes, as usual.
Well, I had a writing wobble, which is funny because the previous week, because I just listened to last week's podcast yesterday. I said, the best week ever, na-na-na-na-na. And then, of course, I had my fourth week wobble.
You jinxed it.
Well, I wouldn't say jinx it, but, I call it the fourth week wobble.
Okay.
I mean, because as I have previously said, I've never really recorded my writing process, but I mean, of course, I have it in my memory.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's usually around the fourth week that I have a wobble.
Mm-hmm.
Also, my characters had to kiss, and I think I had some, I don't know, I think maybe I had the fear of writing the kiss scene.
Uh-huh.
Like I sometimes have the fear of writing the ending.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I wrote it this week, so it's fine. I'm past my fourth week wobble.
Excellent.
And I'm,
you've crushed it the past 2 days.
I've crushed it. So it's going well again.
Excellent.
But yeah, I mean, it's writing. It's up and down in it.
It is, yes.
So we know this.
Yes,
I know this.
Yes.
You know it.
Yes.
So you just wrote a fantastic blurb for French Kissing Live, though.
Well, a first try at the blurb, but
I want to read the book now, and I wrote it.
Well, yeah, I'm trying to make it as compelling as possible. So,
yes.
So people will think, ooh, I want to read this. Or people who have no idea what French kissing is will say, ooh, I have to read this, but I have to read the other four first.
Yeah. Someone on Amazon called it like juvenile college drama. How can these 40-something women engage in such juvenile college drama?
Well, some people are just are too uptight.
Does she not know any lesbians?
Anyway, it's a fiction. It's a soap opera, basically.
It's okay. I just meant it as a joke.
Yes.
We should not criticize reviews.
No, that's true. Okay.
We have to take them as they come. But I do want to say, I mean, there used to be a time I would have gotten quite upset with a review like that, but now I really cannot. I mean, I appreciate reviews, totally, but it used to be very disproportional that bad reviews would get me very upset and good reviews would, say, okay, that's nice, attach more importance to the bad reviews, but I don't do that anymore.
It's all part of the fuck it.
Fuck it in the chuck it bucket.
No, chuck it in the fuck it bucket.
Chuck it in the fuck it bucket. Yeah, this brings me to another topic. But no, first I want to say we have a release date for French Kissing 5.
Yes, June 18th.
Yes, finally a new release.
Yeah, so
first
we've been
one of the year.
Informed by Audible that the audio should be ready and out then as well. So
Abby Creighton is free.
And Abby Creighton is
She's
recording.
She's not hogged
it.
By Jay anymore.
So hopefully June 18th, but I think definitely the ebook and print book should be out June 18th for sure, and the audio as well, as of now, that is the schedule.
Yes.
So that's good news. Finally a new release.
I know.
Yeah, it's about time.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, we've been over this many times.
I know,
Let's not do it again.
Okay.
But yes, I look forward to having a new book out as well.
Yes.
It's been a while.
It has.
I'm starting to miss it. Because at first I was very happy that I didn't have to, because, it was a pretty relentless launch schedule we were on. Like, I just recovered from one launch when I had to start gearing up for the next.
Mm-hmm.
But now I think I'm ready for another.
Yes, I should think so.
Yeah.
So, what was the next topic that you were that it was
well,
going to bring
about,
you on?
About chuck it in the fuck it bucket. Like I wrote a newsletter last week. And I mean, I just wanted to announce that High Rise was on sale, really.
Mm-hmm.
But then, I don't know, I got like really emotional in my newsletter. I told my list about my new fuck it all attitude, which has helped me greatly. And then a lot of people replied. And the reply I got quite a few times was the quote, chuck it in the fuck it bucket, which I never heard before.
You hadn't?
No.
Oh, okay. I had.
Where?
I don't know, on TV probably, where do I hear most things?
On television, yeah. Of course, or live.
But then someone sent you something.
Yes, they sent me the fuck that meditation. It's on YouTube, we should link to it.
Yeah,
I'll put
it in the show notes.
It's only like 2.5 minutes, but it's amazing. It's like, fuck that shit. And, you know, no matter what shit is going on, it's all bullshit, you're in this moment, and just fuck that shit. It's really great. I mean, and to anyone who takes offense at me saying fuck it, I mean, I'm going to have to say fuck it. Because I was actually talking about it with Cheyenne, and, you know, we know Australians are notorious swearers.
They like
to
curse.
She says, I swear all the time, and it makes me really very happy. So, yeah, you know, if you can be happier by swearing a bit, then why wouldn't you do it?
I know. I think it can really do a world of good, a good curse word now and then to release the tension.
Yeah, I've got one inappropriate, like when someone gets a newsletter, they can mark it as inappropriate. I got one out of, I mean, you know, no. This was sent to many people.
Yes.
So that was okay.
Yes, only one person could not stand the number of fucks in the newsletter. I hope we don't get reported for being inappropriate for this podcast.
No, because we have an explicit warning. We can say fuck it as much as we like.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
That we should say it even more.
Yes,
so
well,
fuck that.
Yeah, I think we've said it enough for this episode.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, what's next? Oh, yeah, so I was a golf widow.
Yes.
For 3 days last week, because you went to play golf on Thursday as well.
Yes.
And then you were away basically all weekend.
I left Friday evening and I came back Sunday evening. So yes. Yes, I was away.
So I had to occupy myself. And I read a book. I came across a book. I don't know exactly how I came across it. Probably while I was browsing Amazon, which I tend to do. And I don't remember the exact title. Oh, see, it's in my notes, look up title, and I didn't do it. But it was about releasing rapidly, which, you know, at one point I attempted, but I mean, just the thought of it now, I mean, it makes me break out in fuckets. But what was very interesting is that this author, Ilana something, Johnson.
I'll put a link in the show notes.
She is very frank about her income.
Okay. Which, it's always interesting to see.
Yes, because not many people are willing to be very frank about their income.
Mm-hmm.
So she is like a straight romance, like cowboy, millionaire, and beach romance. I mean, it's pretty niche, I think. But still, straight romance. No matter how small the niche, I think it's always going to be bigger than lesbian romance.
Yes.
And, of course, a lot of these rapid release authors are in KU.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, for a second I thought, KU does sound, because, I mean, she makes a lot of money, but, I mean, I know why I'm not in KU.
Yes.
I wrote a very long-winded blog post about it.
And the reasons haven't changed.
Yeah, because we are not in KU, as of tomorrow, my books will also be, well, tomorrow, today, this podcast goes out on which day?
Wednesday.
You can get my books from Ilva Publishing.
Oh, yes.
As of the 1st of May, they're selling our books.
Yes. So,
which is great.
Yeah. And another venue, retailer, where you can find
Yeah, because our books. I mean, I understand why most people would put their books in KU, because, I mean, this author, she tried to sell, she gave herself a year to sell on Kobo and Apple and Google, and, I mean, she sold peanuts. But I think it's different when you're in lesbian fiction, because, you know, like, we can sell on Bella, now we can sell on Ilva.
Yes. I think a lot of readers of our genre, they like to buy from specialized platforms because they feel they're supporting,
yeah,
you know, people from the community. So they buy books on Bella and they'll I'm sure there are many people will buy books on Ilva, or they want to buy direct because they want to support. So we're still happy to be wide.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
No, I'm very happy to be wide. Yes. I mean, sometimes you have to like think about things. But
yes.
But if you know, this is what Sean Platt always says, right? If you know your why, it's so much easier to stick to it.
It is. Yeah, it's true.
And I know my why. I don't want to give all my money to Amazon. They already get so much because all these ads we do.
Yes.
It's crazy.
Yes. And, you know, little by little, sales increase on other platforms. And it takes a while, but we see it every month. Our Apple sales go up a bit. Oh, no, the screen has gone black, but I think it's just a screensaver.
I read that it used to be that if you wanted to get some traction on the other retailers, it took a year, but now they say it takes 3 years.
Okay.
But, of course, I mean, unless you mean fiction is always different.
Yes, it's also, it never follows exactly what other genres do.
No, because the covers are still... pretty bad. Caroline's covers, but this is our fault also, because I keep saying we have to put a page on my Lesbic website. Have I done it? No.
No, it's okay. I'm at the moment, I don't have enough time anyway.
No, because you always have to play golf.
I know.
So how was your golfing weekend?
Well, our team lost both days, which is not good, but I played, but I'm really happy with my game because I actually played really well, but both times I was playing this, you know, some young girl, woman, the first time she must have been like 15, 16.
Not even a millennial anymore. Like
no.
The generation after
millennials.
I mean,
on Sunday, I played a 13-year-old.
Is that even legal?
Yes, who has like a way better handicap than me. So, she's like a scratch player, which is like this level that she could become a professional if she wanted. But she's 13 years old. I felt like I was babysitting. I mean, she had both her parents.
You're 30 years older than her.
I know. I could, I could be her mother and I would have been a not super young mother. So she had her parents, caddying her and following her. I mean, it was very pleasant. She was very nice, but it really made me feel old. And our captain in the morning, we had to play the doubles, two teams of two. And he sent a message in our team WhatsApp group. So, this morning, the cumulative age of our opponents, so they added up the ages of all the players, four players, was 78. And on our team, one of the pairs, so only two, it was 89 already. In total, it was about double. So, and it was the same thing the day before. So we feel very old.
You have some young players on your team?
No, we don't. Compared to all these other teams, they have 13, 14, 15-year-olds, and our youngest player is about 25.
You're not attracting new players in your club.
No, there are boys, but there are no girls that are coming up and that are, good enough to have, to be in the first team.
But your club might attract a new player soon.
Maybe, yes. Who knows? But she's not that young either.
No. I didn't say young. I'm talking about me.
So, it was a tough week, but it was fun because I played really well. So I'm
and
happy.
Then
but
you
I did,
came back all broken.
Yeah, I did hurt my back before the first round on Saturday. I don't know what I did. I drugged myself with some, painkillers and all that stuff, but I'm still pretty sore today. I hope I can. I have to play tomorrow again because it's a public holiday here.
First of May.
So I have to do it all again tomorrow and then all again on Saturday.
Goodness me.
I know, it never ends, but then I'll take a break for a few days.
Because, I mean, I clearly remember when we just got back to Belgium, I pushed you to take up golf again. Because, I enjoy being a golf widow, but now I'm having second thoughts because, it costs a lot of money. All the new gear you got, which I understand because all your other gear was quite old. Plus, you come back broken every time.
Not broken every time. Tired, yes. This is, I usually don't have my back completely messed up after it.
No, that's true, but you always have something.
No. You're exaggerating.
I'm not prone to exaggeration.
No, not at all.
So I don't know why you would say that.
This will be the title of the episode. You're not prone to exaggeration.
I thought it was going to be Harper is so easily bamboozled. That's why I brought it up.
For this single reason
to put it in the title.
Okay, well, I'll see what I put in the title. Anyway.
I hope you survive your next golfing days.
I hope so too. We'll see. I'll report back next week.
if we're not on air next week, it means you didn't survive.
It means I didn't survive.
But on Sunday, you have a closing dinner for the interclubs, and I will join you.
Yes.
I usually don't join you because, you know, I'm not a club kind of person, especially not a golf club, because, you know, you're posh and I'm not.
Well,
and
not
this is
really
supposed to be the topic of our podcast.
Well, then, you know, we can switch, we can evolve, we can move on to that topic then.
Yeah, because this should have been crystal clear for decades, but I've only just now put it into words. I like posh girls.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I like you. And also because just recently I got an email from someone saying, you know, all your characters, like they have good jobs and they're rich and, you know, why don't you write about, you know, some working class people or criminals or, you know, people in, I don't know, like
in jail,
lesser paying jobs. And I thought about it, but it does not hold any appeal to me. I really like it when my characters are posh. Like now one of my current characters is a member of minor aristocracy. I don't know, I'm drawn to writing about these characters.
Well, you know, if that's what you enjoy writing, then you should write it, because if you have to write about something you don't enjoy, it's not going to be any good, is it?
No.
So, and anyway, it's romance. It's, you know, supposed to be not real, not based on real life, and, you know. So, I mean, if you don't like but I'm just saying to the people out there, if you don't like reading about posh girls and people with, you know, good jobs and who are comfortable financially, well, then maybe some other author has better books for you than Harper Bliss.
Yeah, I'm sure there are.
Yeah,
many. But I'm not a posh girl myself at all. Maybe that's why I'm drawn to posh girls.
Maybe.
Like opposites attract.
Maybe.
Like you come down every morning in your, well, I wouldn't say iron shirt, but at least
no.
clean shirt. I'm in my loungewear.
I wear real clothes.
And when you come back from the golf club, which is already quite posh in itself, you're always, you know, you look so posh. I really like that.
Well, that's good then.
Yeah.
Okay. Means you won't leave me that quickly.
No, I don't think I will leave you at all. I didn't have any plans.
Okay, cool.
As long as you're a posh girl.
Yes, I'll try and stay a posh girl.
I don't think you even have to try. I think it's in you. It's such a distinct difference between us. I'll never be a posh girl.
I don't know.
I might join the golf club, though. I don't know. I'll take a lesson first.
Yes, give it a try first.
This is a long-term plan.
Yes.
So first I will go with you to the dinner and mm-hmm. see how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
And then talk to the teacher, the pro.
Mm-hmm.
Your mom told me off for that once because I called a golf teacher a teacher and she said, it's a golf pro. But she didn't say it like that.
My mother would not adopt that tone.
No, and the accent was all wrong as well. No, I'm sure she said like, no, I can't do it now because I'm too self-conscious. But yeah, so, and then I'll see.
Okay.
But don't count on having me in your interclub team next year.
Oh, I'm not. I'm definitely not counting on that.
So there we go.
Yes.
So what else do we have?
Television. Yes. Well, we've been watching The Good Wife still. We're on season 2 now. Still
we can't good. Stop. And yeah. It's great because there are 7 seasons.
Yes.
So we always have something to watch.
But we did find a new show to nap through.
Yeah, well, we tried once. We only started yesterday.
Yeah, I didn't see any of it. So.
Well, you were still recovering from your weekend of golf. Plus, you'd taken these painkillers.
Yeah.
I think that would knock you out.
Yes, probably.
But I fell asleep almost immediately. I was the show is Dr. House, which is on Amazon. I fell asleep. Sorry, but I have to say that I did quite a vigorous workout just before. And so, then when I do a workout and then I take a shower and then I have my lunch, I'm usually like ready to fall asleep. But The Good Wife was just too stimulating.
Yeah.
But Dr. House isn't. I mean, it's watchable because, I mean, it's a It's a fine thread because the show needs to be watchable because we tried Law and Order SVU and that just annoys me too much. I can't sleep. It's so bad, but this is like right on line. But Olivia Wilde's not in it yet, do
we? No, but I mean, and also we just saw one episode, which was a pilot, I think, so we'll have to, you know, see a few more. We'll see today.
I've missed Lisa Edelstein.
No, I caught a glimpse of her, but she's in it, you know, in the long term.
But do you know what I thought about in Ally McBeal? Did she play like a trans woman?
Yes, I think so. Yes.
That would not fly anymore now.
No, but I mean, Ally McBeal was a long time ago.
It was.
But I seem to remember
that. When we just met.
Yeah.
20 years ago, yes. 19 years ago.
Yes. Yeah. So, House New Nap Show.
Yes.
And I wanted to mention a podcast that I've been enjoying greatly while I'm in the car driving to the various locations I have to go play golf at. It's called No Such Thing as a Fish. And it's by the researchers and writers of the BBC show QI. So in QI, they have all these kinds of facts and stuff. And No Such Thing as a Fish, they take four facts that they researched but that weren't used on the TV show. And it's always very, very interesting and very funny because they're like, you know, funny facts because it's for a comedy show. So. But then it's this discussion between four of the writers and they've all researched and stuff, and then it kind of sometimes goes off on, you know, on a bit of a tangent but still mildly related to the primary fact that they were discussing, and it's very, very entertaining. So I would recommend that if you want a podcast that is both funny and informative. Because
not like ours.
Not like ours, no. I learned very many interesting facts already.
Can you relate one?
Yeah, well, I learned where the expression o'clock, as in, you know, it's 4 o'clock, comes from.
But I think maybe it's too long.
It's too long to explain, but now I know, and I explained it to you.
Now I know too.
So people listen to it, and then you will know where
the
expression
o'clock
comes from.
Also, then you can, like, you know, spread around facts.
Yeah, and you can impress your entourage with knowledge about the most random facts. I know, for instance, that millipedes can mutate one of their legs into a penis.
What?
Yes.
And they have 1,000.
When they reach puberty.
They can have 1,000 penises.
They never have 1,000 legs. I think the most that have been counted is 750, if I remember correctly.
Christ.
But at puberty, they can, you know, like, mutate one of their legs into a penis.
Just the one?
I think more than one. That I don't remember. Anyway, listen to the episode about millipedes and centipedes.
It's such a pity that was not in an actual episode, because I would have liked to hear Sandy Toksvig take on that.
Yes, that would have been interesting.
I think she's great as the presenter of QI.
Yeah, she's very funny.
Because, you know, Stephen Fry was so good, and I never thought that someone could, like, do it as good as he does.
Yes.
I mean, she has a different style, but she's great.
Yes, she is.
Plus, they had a gay and now they have a lesbian.
Yes.
It's amazing, right?
Fabulous.
Okay.
Okay, I think we have been going on for long enough, so we should probably wrap this up.
Okay, so we might be back next week, or we might not. Who knows?
We will
if
be back.
If my wife survives.
We will be back next week.
Okay. See you then. Well, talk to you then. Well,
okay. Yes.
Listen to us then.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening to Harper Bliss and Her Misses.
You can find all the episodes and show notes at harperblissandhermisses.com.
We also have a favor to ask.
If you could rate and review the podcast wherever you listen to it, that would help other people find us.
Thank you.